Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, those who listen to us via Radio 4, BBC 7, the Internet, or on the World Service. And also it's a huge pleasure to welcome to the program four exciting individual and talented personalities. We have back with us two people who played the game quite a number of times. We have Scotland's finest and most entertaining broadcaster, Fred McCauley. We have a multi-talented and ubiquitous Giles Brandreth. And we have two who have not played it quite so often, but it's always a joy to have them here. That lovely actress, comedian and journalist, Maria McCurlin, and a very talented comedy performer and also a comedy writer, Nick Revel. Please welcome all four of them. As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janice Staplehurst, and she's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Bonar Hall in that wonderful University of Dundee, or Dundee University, as it's usually referred to, in Tayside. And we have a very excited, voracious and vociferous student audience, supplemented by a lot of the good people of Angus and further afield, who've come to cheer us on our way as we start the show this week with Fred McCauley, and of course we have with our Scottish representative. Fred, the subject is doing two things at once. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I'm sure that I'll win the favour of half the audience when I say that doing two things at once is something that women manage to do much better than men. They can listen to a conversation, conduct chat.
And Giles's challenge.
A little hesitation.
A little hesitation, yes.
But enough.
Enough. You are going to convince me. All right, Giles, I will allow that little hesitation.
You see how it's going to be?
You can see how it's going to be. And so Giles gets a point for a correct challenge. He takes over the subject of doing two things at once, and there are 48 seconds starting now.
I agree entirely with Fred that this is something that the female of the species is an expert at, and in fact I'm currently on a course organised by my first wife. Do not misunderstand me, I'm still married to her, I just call her that to keep her on her toes, in which she is instructing me in the art of being able to do two things at once. I'm learning to do this by not interrupting her, not trying to answer every question before the question has actually been put, and then I found there is a downside to getting in touch with my feminine side, and that is that unfortunately I can no longer park the car. But I am able to rub my tummy and at the same time pat my head. This means that I can simultaneously do two totally contrasting yet rather remarkable inhuman endeavours, and I feel quite proud that I've become so adept at this multiversity.
Maria has challenged you. I'm sorry. Challenge.
Well, there was a word there that was, you know, in that amongst that flow that I didn't recognise, which was inhuman.
Inhuman.
Yes, I didn't know what that is.
Maybe I think he was going at such a pace we would allow in an inhuman for an inhuman.
That was what it meant to be, was it?
I imagine it was meant to be.
Oh, that. Yes. The inhuman is the person who has factor X.
Giles, another point to you. Got 7 seconds to finish the subject, doing two things at once, starting now.
The most difficult sort of accomplishment is...
Now, Maria, yes.
You've already had a difficult.
Yes, we did have a difficult.
There was a hesitation as well. Hesitation, I was trying to do two things at once, you see, and I'm not very good at it.
So, Maria, you have a point in the breakdown. And there are 6 seconds for you to tell us something about doing two things at once, starting now.
Doing two things at once.
Nick Joe.
Hesitation.
Yeah, there was.
I was breathing.
Explain to our listeners, she was actually demonstrating, and they were actually carried away because she stretched herself and she showed her full bosom. Beautiful and wonderful.
That wasn't my full bosom.
It was rather exciting. She was actually showing us two things.
I know.
This is grossly unfair. I'm sitting beside her. I can't see what's going on.
And anyway, Giles, that isn't my full bosom. My full bosom is in the dressing room behind. I just used half of my bosom tonight.
Well, I think we've had enough about bosoms. I mean, I didn't want to go without it. Giles had the temerity to actually express it, and he got a big round of reaction, so give him a bonus point for that. Nick Revel had a correct challenge of hesitation, and Nick, you've got 4 seconds on doing two things at once, starting now.
Doing two things at once is something I regret doing at this...
Nick Revel gets a point for that. You were speaking as the whistle went, and so... Nick Revel, will you take the next round? The subject is a parallel universe. That's a tough one, isn't it? Second thought, and then you carry on, 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Parallel universe and how to describe it in just a minute. Well, a job for Stephen Hawking rather than me, but I'll try. Imagine, if you will, the male...
Charles, you...
Yes, I felt a little assistance was needed.
It was, yeah.
I felt he wanted to... Well, I mean, we could have gone for deviation. It's Stephen Hawking without an S, but instead we waited until the hesitation was there, and the momentum had sort of disappeared.
Giles, I was slowing down.
I know you're a little bit hyper because your train arrived just 2 minutes before we started the recording, but you don't need to lay it on.
I'm as high as a kite, to be honest. Yes. It's the combination of Valium, Benzedrine, and rather an amusing person I picked up in Forfar.
It's little wonder he was late if the train came via Forfar.
You have a correct challenge, Charles, of hesitation.
What's the subject again?
You need to be reminded, because it is a tough one. A parallel universe, 6 seconds... Sorry, 50 seconds starting now.
In my parallel universe...
Nick challenged.
I don't want to be pedantic, but I thought there was a little bit of hesitation there.
Definitely, Charles. You never got it. Nick, you got it back. 47 seconds, a parallel universe starting now.
According to physicists, subatomic theory...
Fred, challenge.
I know that Giles and I have been having words this evening, but I think that was rather unfair. I mean, there was a slight hesitation, but he was talking from another universe. I mean, it's bound to be a delay. Even with these wonderful Radio 4 engineers, there's going to be a slight delay.
No, you mean the universe that takes him through Forfar, I think, yes. He was a definite hesitation. He's been pretty sharp with you on hesitation already. That was a fair decision on my time. And you've interrupted Nick, who's got another point for that. He's got 45 seconds, a parallel universe, starting now.
A parallel universe is somewhere where things are the same as in this one, except paradoxically not quite similar. Imagine, if you will, a universe like this one, but where Just a Minute was a program.
Maria, challenge.
Repetition of Just a Minute.
Mm. Stay with me
as I explain on Just a Minute.
Yes, I did. Yes, no.
Well, listen.
Very well remembered.
My goodness me, your university education's come in wonderfully. 33 seconds, a parallel universe with you now, Maria.
I often feel that a parallel universe is sometimes when you're asleep and dreaming. For instance, last night I dreamt of Nicholas Parsons.
Oh.
That's deviation. Yeah.
So, what do I decide on that, audience?
Do you want to know more, Nicholas?
Well, I hope it was a devious thought you had with me, Maria. That's all I can say.
You were teaching me how to drive.
Within the rules of Just a Minute. Within the rules of Just a Minute, Maria is entitled to dream about whoever and whatever she likes. So it's not really a devious thought.
If it was devious,
well, then it doesn't matter. She wasn't being devious within the rules of Just a Minute.
No, but she wasn't in a parallel universe.
No.
She was in a dream world.
She was allowing her libido to soak up rather than allowing her subatomic particles to slip sideways.
But Giles, sort of, who's to say a parallel universe isn't the dream world?
I just told you.
Right. I think you should save all that in case you get back in on the subject. Maria, I disagree, because within the rules of Just a Minute, you can have as many devious thoughts as you like, providing you're not devious within the rules of Just a Minute. You haven't been. You still have a parallel universe, and you have me if you want it in your dream. And 23 seconds starting now.
I did have you, and then I woke up because it was a hideous, horrible nightmare. Oh.
You ruined it, Maria.
Oh.
You've lost them, darling. Giles,
I've certainly lost you, haven't I, Nicholas?
Giles, yeah. Benefit of the doubt to you. 18 seconds, a parallel universe, Giles, starting now.
I wish to move to a parallel universe where Maria and I can have triplets called Einstein, Wittgenstein and Helen of Troy, because between us we would produce creatures that are so beautiful and wise that everyone would think that, no, this wasn't a parallel universe, this was heaven itself, a very paradise, a paradigm of all that is curious and bizarre, and yet...
So Giles Brandreth got points in the round, according one for speaking as the whistle went, and has increased his lead over Fred McCauley and Nick Revel, and almost equal in second place, and Maria McCullin is only 1 point behind them. And so, Giles, we're with you now to start, and the subject is cake. Tell us something about cake in just a minute, starting now.
Jane Asher was the first truly beautiful woman to sleep in my bed. Maddeningly, I was elsewhere at the time. But she did explain to me the brilliance of cake in all its manifestations. Battenberg, Christmas, sponge. But she said to me, the prince of cake is always Dundee. Because it comes from a heritage that is unique. That is to it a quality of fruit, a texture that is just inalienable. There is something when you stir a cake from that particular part of the world that makes you feel magic itself. You don't need to throw in the odd sixpenny piece as you do with a Yuletide cake. No, this is a kind of gâteau for people who have intellect, who have persuasion, who have a quality in their water.
Fred, your light came on, but I didn't hear your buzzer. Let's see if your buzzer's working. Yes, it is working, but the light came on, so I take the challenge, yes?
I feel terrible about this because I was so enjoying Giles's Dundee cake, but there were two who's.
Yes, and you have as well. Right, so there we are. So a correct challenge, yes, it was good. But you restrained yourself for 42 seconds, so 18 seconds are available anyway. With you, Fred, on cake starting now.
A man walked into a baker's shop in Paisley and saw a pile of pies and went to grab the one off the top, and the baker said, "Get your hands off the wedding cake." Clearly, this is something that would not occur in a fine city like Dundee, which is Giles is already...
So, Fred McCauley, with other points, including one as the whistle went in that round, has moved forward. He's still in second place, and then it's Nick Revel and Maria McCullin. Giles is leading. And, Maria, it's your turn. The subject is the office party. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
This is the time of year for the office party where you can tell Kevin in accounts just about his hygiene problem and photocopy your bottom, should you choose to. You can also use it to blackmail many of your colleagues by videotaping their antics whilst in the stationery cupboard. Of course, they may choose to take out a contract on you, but it's a lovely way to think, every day I go on to that boring office.
Giles Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. Major hesitation, I think, but either size, it doesn't matter because it's correct and you have the subject and you have 38 seconds and you have the office party starting now.
When I went to the office party, I was excited to find that Ricky Gervais was actually there, celebrating the success of the series named after, well, I can say it, can't I, The Office. He and all the other people celebrating were behaving in a most circumstantial...
Nick Revel Challenge.
I think there was a repetition of
Celebrating.
Oh,
yes.
Could have been.
Celebrating, yes.
Could have been.
Yes. So, Nick, another point to you. You're in on the office party with 21 seconds starting now.
One of the worst things about being self-employed is that when you have an office party, you're the only one who goes. On the other hand, there is the advantage that you're always certain that you're going to pull if you want to. I don't have a photocopier, but I've just got one of those new phones so that I can take pictures of my genitals with that. Soon.
I think the whistle came just in time. But you were speaking as the whistle went, and again to another point, and you've moved forward, but you're still in third place. But it doesn't matter. I mean, we loved it. And, Nick, it's your turn to begin as well. The subject is Latin. And this academic atmosphere, what a wonderful subject to talk about. Latin, tell us something about it. Just a minute, if you can, starting now.
A mo, a mas, a mat, a monk, a mink, a minibus, as John Lennon conjugated comically the Latin verb to love, proving that Latin, which is often thought of as a daunting, dusty and dull subject, and indeed language, can be fun. Caesar ad sum jam forte, Pompey adorat. Nonsense, of course, but a macaronic gag. And then there's Catullus, who we learnt at school. He did a poem about getting ready for a party and sending his invitation. Oh.
That was such lovely stuff there. Right, I think it was Giles who challenged first. 28 seconds, Giles, on Latin, starting now.
Julius Caesar, the Roman geezer, squashed his face in a lemon squeezer. For many years, I thought that the equivalent of in loco parentis was my dad's an engine driver. But then the teachers that I had at school who instructed me in this subject were not as learned as they might have been. I went to a bizarre academy where when they thought they were teaching Latin, actually it was a kind of curious double Dutch because the fellow came from Amsterdam and spoke not a word of that ancient Roman tongue. No, Greek.
Well, Jar's got another point then and has increased his lead at the end of the round, and he also begins the next round. Giles, a senior moment. Oh, it's got a little frisson in the audience. There's some who've experienced it, no doubt. But will you talk on the subject, Giles, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A senior moment is the description we give to that time when people of riper years find it a little bit difficult to remember what they want to, and say the word craft, being an acronym for can't remember a flipping thing. I suffered from this even when I was a junior person, and as an actor I appeared in the famous Danish play by William Shakespeare and forgot my lines. I went on as Hamlet, came off as Omelette because they threw eggs at me. It was humiliating, and it was the effect of actually not having the proper recall that eventually now I have reached seniority.
Nick Jones, yes?
I know it's spiteful, but there was a little sort
no,
of...
No, it's the game. It's the game.
No, it was spiteful. That's
no.
What I'm saying.
No,
I was trying to be spiteful.
Oh, I see.
I don't think so. I mean, the pace he goes, his hesitations are a little smaller than others, but it was a correct hesitation. So, Nick, you have the subject, and you have 25 seconds. Tell us something about a senior moment starting now.
I almost had a senior moment then when I couldn't remember what the subject was, but it was a senior moment, and I'll tell you something else. The subject is a senior moment.
Jar's challenge.
And the subject has been repeated twice.
And the subject, you repeat his subject.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh, I see. When you said you could repeat the subject, I thought you meant repeat the subject.
Oh. Giles, a correct challenge. Tell us something about a senior moment, or more about the senior moment. 17 seconds, starting now.
More recently, when I assailed the role of the Chinese waiter in King Lear and came on in Act 2, Scene 3, and attempted to say, come hither, ho.
Maria, challenge.
How recently was this, Giles? When you say more recently, I don't think it was recently.
Well, earlier I was talking about my junior moments. I'm now talking about my senior moments, hence I've moved from Hamlet to King Lear.
So, when did you play King Lear?
Maria, there was no Chinese waiter in King Lear.
No,
There is. That's the whole point. He comes on in Act 2, Scene 3, when Lear calls to him. He says, come hither, ho.
No.
Giles, a point for the round of applause that he was searching for. And Maria, a point for a correct challenge. And she takes over the subject of a senior moment with 10 seconds starting now.
I had a recent senior moment when I found myself in the middle of the stairs, not being able to remember if I was going up or going down. Two goings!
Fred got in.
I hadn't a clue why I buzzed, but thank you. Two goings. That'll do me fine.
Sometimes if you give it away, sometimes they can overlook it. But Fred got in with 3 seconds on a senior moment starting now.
I sincerely hope that my senior moments are going to be...
So Fred McCorney got points in that round, and he's got more. He's keeping up on Giles, who's still in the lead. He's a little way ahead of Nick Rebel, and he's a little way ahead of Maria McCorney. That's the situation. And Maria, it is your turn to begin. The subject is making ends meet.
Gosh.
It can all be tied into your dream, can't it? But tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Making ends meet is something I think about every time I put on my trousers, when I lie on the bed and can't even get the middle to meet, let alone the beginning. Oh, dear, this is all rubbish, isn't it?
And prior to that, there was deviation. She is the slimmest, trimmest, most dainty creature I've ever seen. She could slip into any pair of trousers.
I can't...
Can I tell you, Maria dresses so well and so quickly.
Well, obviously, we've all been in your dreams, Maria.
Yes, we give you hesitation, but not the other thing. And all that flattery, really. Yeah. Making ends meet with you now, Giles, in 48 seconds, starting now.
Making ends meet is a disaster when it comes to a sandwich recipe, because the whole thing is inside out. What you want to do, of course, is to make the inside meet.
Nick Breville challenge.
Well, I felt that the was sort of sliding away from you a bit, but also I didn't know what the hell you were on about.
But I can give you hesitation, though.
Thank you.
Right, and you have 38 seconds on making ends meet, Nick, starting now.
It's never been a problem for me, because I don't care if I haven't got any money and I can't make ends meet. Then I'll just sell the big issue like Giles Brandreth was when he came in this morning. He's an example to us all. You just keep going, and if you need to think for a moment, you just...
No. Stick to your own routine.
Yeah, I know.
Stick to your own routine. Leave Giles.
Imitation.
Yes, imitation. Giles, you had hesitation, and you have 22. So you had a challenge of hesitation. 22 seconds, making ends meet, starting now.
My financial advisor is a psychotic by the name of Ebenezer Everard Scrooge, a curious name that he uses, and I don't know quite why he is called this, except that he is somebody who is both perverse and vile.
Nick, you challenge.
I'm sorry, I think there were two names in
there. There were.
I'm terribly sorry.
Actually, there were three names, Ebenezer, and then Devere, and then Scrooge. But
you repeated the word name,
I did.
Which you do as the name of soap. And so Nick Revel, who's got back in with only 10 seconds ago, making ends meet, starting now.
Making ends meet is easy as long as you cut your cloth to meet your pocket or whatever they say in...
Maria challenge.
That made no sense at all. Cut your cloth to meet your pocket.
Well, it did in the sort of poetic sense, didn't it?
A poetic sense it did.
Really? That's poetry where you come from?
I can't afford a coat, I just have the pocket.
I know, he got his metaphors muddled, but I agree with you. So that is deviation from the metaphors, we understand it, or English as we like to comprehend it. So, Maria, you've got in with 5 seconds to go on making ends meet, starting now.
It's very difficult to make ends meet at this time of the year because we all go way over our budgets.
So, Maria McCallum is again speaking as the whistle went, and she has moved forward. She's almost equal with Nick Revel and Fred McCauley. They're all very close in a sort of second place behind Giles Brandreth, who's still in the lead. And we're moving into the final round, and it's back with Giles to begin, and the subject is origami. So, a little moment to think about it, Giles. Then will you go on origami, if you can? 60 seconds starting now.
Origami is the ancient Chinese practice of paper folding.
Nick, challenge.
Sorry, matey, it's, I believe it's Japanese, so that
it
would be
indeed,
deviation.
Yes.
I'm afraid I don't notice people's racial characteristics, but if this is something you're hung up on, I'm amazed the BBC want to broadcast this kind of thing, but there we are, fine.
So, you've got a correct challenge and a round of applause as well, almost deserves 2 points, but you have the subject, 56 seconds, Nick Revel, origami, starting now.
Origami is the ancient Japanese art of paper folding. It is very old and...
Charles got it back immediately, yes.
I don't really want it back because I know bugger all about it.
Anyway, you have origami in 50 seconds starting now.
Robert Harbin wrote a marvelous book on this subject some years ago in which he enabled us to create an amazing range of artifacts, objects, indeed buildings, using forms of tissue so that you could actually build an Eiffel Tower, then set it to sail. And if you didn't want to do that, you could actually put a match to it and light your cigar. This is the versatility of origami. You can also try doing it yourself if you want to liven up your sex life. Because, in fact, if you look at one of these little model books...
Maria Challenge.
Deviation.
but on what grounds, madam?
Livening up your sex life with...
Origami, I don't think would liven up anybody's sex life.
Well, how do you know, Nicholas?
I'm trying to help you, actually, madam.
I'm saying it's devious to use to use paper animals to liven up your sex life.
Yes, and I'm agreeing with you, Maria, because I want you to have the subject.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
You brought up the animals.
He said animals. Giles
said animals. He was talking about all kinds of objects in an abstract way.
It was, I think, devious, and as well as the fact that you can't do all those things with origami.
Have I slipped into a parallel universe? Where Maria McAdeline is bringing up animals.
No, she's just a dream. McKellen. She lives there, and the dream went sour, but she's got a correct challenge. 21 seconds, origami, Maria, starting now.
I will now make something out of origami. Origami.
Great challenge.
Origani.
Well, I made a mistake. I corrected it very quickly.
It was too late.
I'm so going off you, Nicholas.
But anyway, we're on radio. A demonstration.
I know, that's why I thought it'd be funny to do a demonstration on radio.
Maybe origami is the Chinese paper folder. Look!
Tell us something about origami. There are 17...
What is it?
It's a bird. Not a very good one.
I must explain to our listeners that the fun that's happening now is Maria took her piece of paper, threw it, shared it up, and that was the noise. She threw it over there, and Fred looked down his nose at it. He's got the subject of origami. 17 seconds starting now.
Origami can be found in Chapter 3 of the Good Sex Guide, but only if you pull page 47 out and fold it up into a model of the Eiffel Tower and set fire to it, sail it down the Seine, and who knows where it might end up, perhaps in the bordello of a Parisian.
Nick Challenge.
I hate to do it to you, but it was hesitation,
wasn't it?
It
was hesitation. Nick, and you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on origami starting now.
Origami, folding paper.
So, as I said before, this was to be the last round, which it is, and the final situation is, well, they all gave such value and were all so lovely, but Maria McClellan did finish only just in fourth place. She was just behind our two equal second. Well, that would be third place, Maria, because the other two in second place equal. Nick Revel and Reb McCauley both were equal, and they were... 7 or 8 points behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. So, Giles, we say, you are the winner this week. So, it only remains me to say thank you to these 4 delightful players of the game, Fred McCauley, Maria McCurlane, Giles Brandreth, and Nick Revel. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the score and blowing her whistle so delicately. We thank our producer, who is Chris Neal. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we are most grateful to this lovely audience here at the Bonner Hall at Dundee University, who've cheered us on our way most magnificently. From that audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Nicholas Parsons will be joined by Linda Smith, Graham Norton, Ross Noble, and Clement Freud. Join them from Warwick next Monday at 6:30.